studying this particular question, do you believe God? Now, excuse me, my throat's messing with me this morning. Last time, 2 weeks ago, I told you we only had one more lesson, but I added another one. So we have this lesson this morning, and next week we will finish because I just had one more that I just needed to put into this, so we'll be doing that. But we're talking about this question, do you believe God? And there's, we've been saying all along, you know, there's a lot of different topics that we talk about in general, things that we ask people this particular question, like this, do you believe in magic, or do you believe in miracles, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in destiny? A whole lot of things that people believe in. Okay? And of course, this particular question we ask people all the time, do you believe in God? Well, this study is not about whether or not we believe in God. It is about, do you believe God? And there is, as we've been saying all along, a big difference between simply believing in God and believing God. A lot of people, you go out and you ask, and again, the surveys keep coming back to the same thing. 80% of the people in America believe in God. Well, there's a problem with that. When 80% believe in God, but we have all the problems that we have going on in our society, that tells us something, doesn't it? 80% believe in God, but not very many believe God. And that's the real problem. They're not believing what God really says in His Word. If people truly did believe God and took Him at His Word, then their behavior would reflect that belief. So the question I've been asking throughout this study, how would your life change if you were to stop just simply believing in God and start believing God? We're looking at different promises, different things that God has said in His Word. Okay? How are we responding to the things that He has said? There's only one of two ways, either with belief or disbelief. We began this study, and the basis for this is the statement concerning Abraham and his belief. James tells us, as God called Abraham to leave his home country and go to a land that He would show him, the Scriptures tell us that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What was it that Abraham believed? He believed God's promises. And so that's what the challenge of this study is really all about, is do we believe God's promises in our lives? Now, in our last study, we were looking at some warning signs or danger signs that God gave to us in His Word, and that particular part having to do with Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus warns us which gate to enter into. Okay? There's only two gates, a narrow gate and a wide gate. One leads to life, the other to destruction. And we saw Jesus warned us and said, look, you need to enter through the narrow gate because the wide gate leads to destruction. And then we were looking at the other part of that warning about the judgment day, the fact that many are going to say to Him, look, Lord, Lord. And they're calling Lord to say, I believed in You. But He will say, depart from Me, I never knew you. So that warning had to do with us doing what God says to do. Well, this morning we're going to look at another warning that God gives to us. And this is a warning again about watching our step. Okay? We need to listen. And that's what this is all about. Listen to God's warning signs. This particular part I want you to focus on this morning is realizing that God loves us and He wants us, and notice I have there in the red, to be ready to be with Him in eternity. This morning, and I want to encourage you, if you brought your Bible, and hopefully you did, two places that we're going to flip back and forth between. All right, Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 51. So you can open your Bible there and put a finger in there, and then 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 13. We're going to be flipping back and forth between those two passages this morning. So if you want, I'll give you just a moment to find those two, and you can flip back and forth with us as we look at this particular thing that Jesus tells us in this warning about being ready when He comes. Let's talk for just a moment about false prophets. There are a bunch of them out there, okay? There are folks that come along every now and then and claim to know what the future holds, and specifically they claim to know when the Lord is going to come back again, okay? So you have things like this, all right? Notice a judgment day is coming, is the proclamation here. When is judgment day going to take place? Oh yeah, that already happened. May 21st, 2011. Okay, judgment day. Did you realize it already occurred? We missed it somehow. Okay? Notice up there in the corner, the Bible guarantees it. Okay? The Bible guarantees it. Well, if that's the case, why are we still here? So you have all these folks that come along and say, oh, the Lord's coming here. The Lord's coming in this date. The Lord's coming on that day. They look at, and we saw this in our study on Revelation not long ago, that people take things out of the prophecies and they try to take them literally and plug in specific things and dates and events and so forth to be able to say, yep, okay, the 23rd of September last year, 2017, was supposed to be the end. And again, we're still here, aren't we? Okay? Folks take all kinds of different things that are going on at any particular point in history and start again plugging in statements to try to say, oh, this is what it refers to. And it means this and it means that. And so these are all the things that tell us that the Lord is coming back on this date or that date. Well, here's a thing to keep in mind about false prophets. If they're going to tell you when the Lord is coming back, then you know they're a false prophet. Okay? But you know they are a false prophet. How can we make such a statement? I mean, any of those that come along and say, here's the date, he's coming. You know, the guy standing on the street corner, he got a sign. You know, tomorrow's the day. Whatever it says, he's a false prophet. Don't listen to him. Okay? Jesus gives us a warning in Matthew. Okay? Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. All right? In chapter 24 and verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We got people out here that are saying all kinds of things that just simply are not true about what God has to say in His Word, and specifically about when the Lord's coming back again. There's another group, okay, that I would kind of categorize in this same idea of false prophets. Those who are saying, oh, we got plenty of time. So you got those who are on one side saying, He's coming back today, right now. And those on the other side, well, we got plenty of time. Stay calm. We got plenty of time. You know who's most in that group of folks right here? It's those young folks. Yeah. The younger we are, the more we tend to think, I got plenty of time. I'm still young. I don't need to worry about that. Here's an idea that a lot of those folks have. Don't you think now is the time to be adventurous while we're still young? In other words, go out and do what you want to do. We're still young. We got plenty of time. Hans Christian Andersen is credited with this particular quote, enjoy life, there's plenty of time to be dead. Okay? Death's going to come, so just enjoy life. Well, we need to enjoy life to an extent, but not to the point where we live outside of Christ. But the issue is, do we have plenty of time? I've asked this question before. How many of you this morning when you got up got your life guarantee? Anybody got that today? that guarantee that says that you're going to live for the rest of this day? Anybody get that today? No, I didn't either. Well, what does that mean? That means that none of us, not a single one of us in this room, is guaranteed to live out this whole day. We don't know how long we have. Every single day that we get up is a gift from God. But there is no guarantee you're going to live through that entire day. You realize that there are literally thousands of people who get up every single day and they don't go back to bed that night. They die for some reason every single day. And most of those people statistically did not expect that to happen to them that day. See? I've told you this before. You know that line that's down the middle of the road, that double yellow line that separates the oncoming traffic from you? You realize that's only paint, right? Okay, so there's nothing to keep that car from coming across your lane. It happens every day. My point is, there is no guarantee you're going to live out this day. And that's whether you are young or old. Young people, listen to me. Just because you are young does not mean you've got plenty of time. And that's part of the warning that Jesus is giving us. Okay? So don't listen to those who would say, oh, it's today, it's coming today. And don't listen to those who say, we got plenty of time. Because here's what Jesus has to say. No one knows about that day. He's talking about the day that the Lord is coming back. Right. No one knows about that day. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. But only the Father. So again, if somebody comes along and says, I've got it all figured out, I studied Revelation, and here's the day, you can take that to the bank. The Bible guarantees it. Just turn and walk away from them because you know they're a false prophet. Because Jesus, who I trust Him. How about you?
Amen.
Okay? When He says it, I believe it.
Amen.
And He said nobody knows that day. Okay? Nobody knows that day except the Father. And then Jesus takes us to an interesting place. Okay, this is in Matthew 24. As you look, and He takes us all the way back to the days of Noah. Okay? Verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Noah was there building the ark, and people were going on living however they wanted to live, paying no attention to the warnings that were given to them. For in the days before the flood, He says, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Going on, life as usual, doing whatever they wanted to do. Paying no attention to the warnings. And that day came and it was too late. And that's where Jesus goes back to. Okay? Now, flip over to 2 Peter. Okay? And notice what Peter says about the same thing. Verses 3 and 4. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers, some of your translations say scoffers, will come with their mocking or scoffing, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. In other words, life just keeps on going. The seasons come, the seasons go. Where is this coming He talked about? He said He was going to come back. He hasn't come back. Maybe He's asleep. Maybe He's so old He forgot. Life just keeps on going. They're scoffing. They're mocking God, He says. But they deliberately forget that long ago, By God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. What's he talking about? All the way back in the time of Noah, what Jesus was referring to. Same thing. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Same word. And that's all it takes, by the way, isn't it? Just one word from God. He reminds us, beloved, remember, don't forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In other words, there's no time in eternity. Okay? There's no time there. So God doesn't have a stopwatch on or a watch there clicking off the days, you see, and the hours and so forth. It doesn't exist. Time, as we know it, exists for this present world only. So when we stop and think, we got plenty of time. God doesn't look at it that way. Right? Because he doesn't count time like you and I do. He goes on to say, where's this Lord that's coming back again? Well, he says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. And that's what we're talking about here this morning, is a promise from God. What is that promise all about? That he's coming back. Okay? It's a promise. He's coming back. And Peter tells us the Lord's not slow in keeping that promise, as some count slowness. What? But he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Yes, sir.
See? God is patient. And when in God's judgment, and I'm going to leave it up to him, by the way, okay? In his judgment, when everyone who is saved, everyone who is going to be saved is saved, then I think that's when he's going to come back. But only he knows when that point will be. And that's what he's waiting for, is for that time to come. Because he loves his creation. Having said all of that, the warning then is, therefore, keep watch. Be on your guard. Okay? We go back over to Matthew chapter 24. Therefore, keep watch. Why? Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. You don't know. When is that going to be? Be ready then. That's what he's telling us to do, quite simply, be ready. And then we would say, typically, what? Be ready when? You see? Isn't that how we are? You see? Be ready when? We want to know, when? When do I need to be ready? And his answer is what? Now.
Now.
Be ready now.
Amen.
Be ready now. Be ready all the time. Because you don't know when he's coming back. Back over to Peter again. The day of the Lord will come how? Like a thief. Okay? Like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and how much? Everything in it will be laid bare. Everything. Everything. Everything is going to be destroyed. It has to be, by the way. Okay? Because another one of God's promises is that he's going to do what? He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. So in order for that to happen, the old's got to be done away with. So all of this, as we know it, is going to be gone. When? Don't know. Don't know. That's why we need to be ready. It's going to come like a thief in the night. Okay? A thief does not call you up and say, hey, I'm going to break into your house tonight. Could you maybe arrange to not be there? Doesn't happen that way, does it?
No.
Okay? And that's Jesus' point. Okay? If the owner of the house knew when he was coming, he would be ready for him. Look at what he says back over in Matthew, verse 40. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he'd keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, how often? All the time, it says. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. So that might mean, for instance, when you're looking at what's going on in your life and say, oh, I still got some time to take care of this. I still got some time to do this. How do you know that? See? How do you know that? How do you know you won't be called home before you get that done? See? And there are a lot of people, by the way, who kind of live like, well, I don't have time to die right now. I got too much to do. Okay? Well, did you ever stop and realize that everybody who dies has stuff that they left undone? I mean, just think about that for a moment, okay? Because that's how it works. You knew when the thief was going to come, you'd call the police and have them standing by, wouldn't you? Okay? We don't know when the Lord is coming back. But He is coming back. Okay? Look at this next part, back in Matthew here. Look at what he says. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? In other words, the master's going away for a while. He takes his servant. He says, all right, you take care of things. You run things while I'm gone. Look at what he says here. Verse 46. It will be good for that servant. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so. What does that imply? That the master has gone, right? Jesus has gone away, and did he not give you and me, us-ins, we-ins, did he not give us something to do? Okay, I seem to recall something that he said about going and making disciples. Okay, and sharing his word, that's what the master has told us to do. And wouldn't it be good for us if we're found doing that when he returns?
Amen.
You see? Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. In other words, that servant will be rewarded. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. There it is again, isn't it? Where is this coming he's talked about? He's staying away. He ain't coming back anytime soon. And he begins, Jesus goes on saying, he begins to abuse and to beat his fellow servants. And he starts hanging out with drunkards and gets drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. So basically, what Jesus is saying is this. Ready or not, here I come. Okay? I'm coming back. He wants us to be ready. Okay? But He's coming back whether we're ready or not. That's what His warning is. You need to be ready because I am coming back. All of those things are so. Here's the question, how shall we live? Flip back over to 2 Peter for just a moment and notice what Peter says here. As he's talking about, as we saw a moment ago, that all of this that we know is going to be destroyed, he then asks that question, since everything is going to be destroyed in this manner, what kind of people ought you to be? In other words, how should we be living? Some translations put it that way. How should we be living? And then he answers that question. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So, here's something to think about. As Christians, as God's people, we should not be dreading leaving this world. We shouldn't be dreading the day of the Lord. We should be looking forward to that. See? We should be looking forward to the Lord coming. I want Him to come back right now. Okay, I got plans for today. We're going to have a great fellowship meal. I hope He comes before we eat. How about you? Oh, I was going to go out and play golf this afternoon. I hope He comes before I finish 9 holes. Okay? You understand my point? We can make all the plans we want, but I look forward to when He's coming back. I want Him to come now. But He's not going to come because I want Him to come. He's going to come when He's ready. Right? But we need to be looking forward to that day and speed its coming. Say, well, wait a minute, how do we do that? How do we speed the coming of the Lord? Well, if, as I said earlier, if the Lord is going to come back at a point when everyone who's going to be saved is saved, how can we speed that up? By doing what He's told us to do as His servants, by making disciples, you see? In other words, sharing God's Word with as many people as we can so that everyone who is going to choose to be saved is saved. The sooner that happens, the sooner we get to that point, then the sooner the Lord is going to come back again. That's how we can affect the coming of the Lord, by doing what He's told us to do as His servants, sharing His Word. And then, Peter finishes with this particular part. Notice that he says, in keeping with His promise. And again, that's what this whole thing is all about, isn't it? The promises of God. And this particular promise that He's coming back. And in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth where righteousness dwells. That's what we need to be looking forward to. Not wanting to hold on to this world, because it's not going to last forever. But rather looking forward to what's going to last for eternity. Amen? So, here's that warning from God. Be ready. Be ready because you do not know the day or the hour. So, here's that question. How will believing God in this manner affect your daily life? Your, as we were talking about in Bible class this morning, your peripateo, your daily walk. How will it change or be different if you really took God at His Word? that you don't really know when he's coming back, and that that could be literally any moment. How would relationships be different in your life if you really believed God in this matter? That he's asking us this question. When he tells us that he is coming back, but he's the only one who knows, okay, do you believe him? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. So we offer this time and this opportunity for anyone to come that maybe you realize that you're not ready. Maybe you're not ready because you've not been living the way that God wants you to live and the way you know He does, that He wants you to be living. Well, then I'd encourage you to make yourself ready today. There's sin that is standing in your way, something that maybe Satan has you wrapped up in. You need to repent of that. And turn back to the Lord. There's someone here this morning who's not given your life to Christ yet. You need to know you're separated from God by your sin. But the great news is that you can change that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as your Lord. Call upon Him as such. And repent of that sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We've got water ready right behind me. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. Whatever else we might be able to help you with, Dale will be in the back and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them. Jerry and I will be up front if you'd like to come up for everyone. So the invitation is open. All you got to do is respond. Let's stand together.